Tonight, the book of Psalms, chapter 29.
Good to have each of you back with us this evening for a study through the book of Psalms. Remember our study on Sunday. We're studying, we're in a series now in the book of Job. This will be our fourth message out of the book of Job, and we're studying through 1 Timothy on Sunday nights. And this coming Sunday night, we're in chapter 3. You want to be sure to study chapter 3. We're going to look at qualifications of a pastor. Qualifications of a pastor and qualifications of a deacon. And certainly we hope when we look at that you find me qualified or you have to fire me by the end of the message come Sunday night. So you be sure and be here. Got a lot of different things we want to look at with regard to a pastor this coming Sunday night. I hope you're enjoying our study through the book of 1 Timothy and our study through the book of Psalms. I pray the Lord's blessing you through with both of them. Now, we sung the song, How Great Thou Art, tonight. And it kind of goes with this particular psalm. If you'd look up with regard to who wrote the song, How Great They Are, he wrote that song after that he had seen a thunderstorm. He'd seen a thunderstorm, and then the sun came out, and he heard the birds singing, and then it prompted him to write that first and second stanza of that particular song. I see the clouds and the rolling thunder. That's from viewing a thunderstorm. Well, Psalms 29 is this same way. It was written, it seems, as you study in the text, as a result of a thunderstorm. And what it does is it looks at a thunderstorm. It's described to us. We're going to look at it here real quick in verses 3 through 9. A thunderstorm is described, and it shows the majesty and the power and the glory of God. Now, remember in Psalms 19, we studied, and it said, the heavens declare the glory of God. Well, folks, so does a thunderstorm. And that's what this particular psalmist does. Now, if you're anything like me, I like storms. I'm one of the few people in the world, I think, that I like storms. Of course, I don't want a hurricane to hit my house or anything, or a tornado, nothing like that. But when I see the lightning and the wind and the rain, I see God's power in that. And I see his great majesty in that. And this psalm deals with that. And I always thought I was crazy till I read this psalm. And David describes a thunderstorm in this particular psalm and seeing God's glory and his majesty and his power. Okay? So we're going to entitle this particular, we're trying to give each psalm a title for your remembrance in your notes. And we're going to title it, How Great Thou Art, just so you can remember a little bit better, because it's really the inspired version of How Great Thou Art. So look at a thunderstorm. Now, just to show you that, in verses 3 through 9, I'm going to give you the outline here, well, in just a little bit. But let me go ahead and look a little bit, and you can see the evidence of a thunderstorm in verses 3 through 9. It says, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory, what's it say he does? He thundereth. There the Lord's voice is likened to thunder. And this is not the only place in the Scriptures where God's voice is likened to thunder. You'll look back in the book of Psalms chapter 18. We've dealt with Psalms chapter 18. But there in that text, Psalms chapter 18 verse 13, notice what it says. The Lord also thundereth in the heavens. And the highest gave his voice. There you have the Lord's voice likened to what? Thunder. Have the same thing in Psalms 29. His voice is likened to thunder. Now, turn to the book of Job. You'll see the same thing again. I'll just give you all the evidence for it whatsoever. Job chapter 40 and verse 9. Hast thou an arm like God? Or canst thou thunder with a voice like him? There again, God's voice is compared to what? Thunder. You see it again in chapter 37, Job chapter 37. You'll have it again. Let's read 3 and 4. We're going to come back and read all this later. He directeth it under the whole heaven, his lightning unto the ends of the earth. After it a voice roareth, he thundereth with the voice of his excellency. Again, thunder and God's voice linked together. Does everybody see that? That should be enough evidence for that. So let's turn back to Psalms chapter 29. There you see the Lord's voice is likened to thunder. And thunder, of course, is powerful and it's majestic. And that's how it's described in verse 4. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Now, the term the voice of the Lord is used seven times in verses 3 through 8. Used seven times to describe the Lord's voice, and it's likened. The Lord's voice is likened to thunder, and likened to, of course, what comes with thunder is a what? Is a storm and lightning and all that's associated with it. Okay, now notice what it says in verse 5, the voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Of course, with thunder comes wind and lightning, and it says it breaks the cedars. That's from the wind or from the lightning. He goes in verse 7, the voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. And what's that speaking of? Lightning. He divides up the flames of fire, and you see the streaks of fire in the sky, do you not? That is lightning. I read where that's three times hotter than the surface of the sun. I thought that was tremendous. So he divideth that, and he does that through the means of lightning. Verse 8, he shaketh the wilderness. This is from the storm, shakes up the wilderness from the wind. You'll look down into verse 9 where it says he discovers the forest, which means he strips off the forest, which the idea of the wind blowing off the leaves. Have you ever went out after a real severe thunderstorm and seen all the leaves laying all over the place? That's the idea of that. So in verses 3 through 8 is a description of a thunderstorm, and that was the evidence for that. Let me go ahead and give you the outline for the text. Verses 1 and 2 is a call to worship. Verses 1 and 2, a call to worship. Verses 3 through 8 is a description of the storm. I'm not going to go back through that again, but you can see the description there of a storm. And then in verses 10 through 11, a reflection on the storm. Let me give that to you again. Verses 1 and 2, a call to worship. Verses 3 through 9, a description of the storm, which we looked at. His voice is likened to thunder. Of course, the wind is described. The lightning is described. All that is described. And, of course, what does the storm do? It declares His glory and His majesty and His power. And you see that, and that's why this psalm is here. Be a good psalm to read if you're afraid of storms. And then it would be good to read when you see a storm because it will remind you of His majesty. Verses 10 and 11 is a reflection on the storm. Okay? All right, now verse 1 and 2 is a call to worship. Let's look at it. It says, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Now, if you got a little note there in your Bible, and you should have, that means sons of the mighty. Sons of the mighty. Man, people say that refers to so many different things, but one thing I do realize, if you're here tonight and saved, you're a child of the mighty, are you not? And He's calling upon God's people to give unto the Lord glory. And strength. Let's go ahead and read it. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. So it's why we entitled verses 1 and 2 as a call to worship. He's calling upon the sons of the mighty. He's calling upon them to worship God and to give Him glory and to give Him strength. Now, the idea of giving Him, of course, we realize God already has glory in and of Himself. We're not giving Him anything. It means we're worshiping Him. Because we give Him glory by worshiping Him. And what we want to do at this time is we want to talk about some of the ways that we, as His children, that we give Him glory. Some of the ways that we give Him glory. Really, one of the ways that I'm going to show you several of them, one of the ways we give Him glory is by giving Him thanksgiving. Does everybody in the house agree with that? You give God glory when you thank Him for things. If you'll recall, in the book of Luke chapter 17, we're told about 10 men which were lepers, and they cry out for Jesus to heal them. And Jesus says for them to go show themselves to the priest, and as they're going down the road to see the priest, they begin to look around and they begin to be healed. So all 10 of them receive healing from that grievous disease of leprosy. And then they keep going their way. 9 of them keep going their way. One of them turns around and goes back to Jesus and falls down before him and gives him praise and thanks. One of them. Okay? Now, one of the things Jesus said to them, he says, were there not 10 cleansed? Where is the 9? There is not that have returned to give glory to God. He's used the term glory to God, save this stranger, which means he was a Gentile. The other 9 were Jews, and they kept going their way. They got what they wanted from God. They kept going their way. Is that a way a lot of people do? They get down and out, and they get in a problem. They get in a trial, and they'll run to God. And then when they get what they want, they go their way. I'd like to tell you how many times I've seen that in 25 years. That happens a lot. But this one man was grateful and thankful, and he came back, and he fell at Jesus' feet, gave him thanks and praise, and Jesus said he returned to give glory to God. So one of the ways that we give God glory as His children is by giving Him thanks. Now, if I'm not going to do this, I should have passed out pieces of paper. But if I could and if I did, what all have you thanked God for today? Okay? What all have you thanked God for today? If you had a piece of paper and I look back there, would you be looking at me right now or would you be writing down all of those things? You know, you could tell if I handed out a pencil and paper and I was looking at Mike Shamlin and I said, write down all the things you thank God for. Mike was going, looking at me, I know he didn't thank God for anything. See what I mean? That's why I didn't do it. But would you be able to write anything down that you thanked God for today? That's one of the ways that we give Him what? Glory. Now, certainly we have abundant reasons to thank. There's a lot of things that we have to be thankful for. But if you're saved every day of your life, you should thank God for saving your soul. Amen. Thanking God that you got a home in heaven. The book of Luke 10 says that we are to rejoice because our names are written in heaven. And we can thank God for those kinds of things. Man, our spiritual blessings that we talk about so often, it's something that we can thank God for every day. But that was my question. We're talking about, it says, given to Him glory. And I'm talking about ways that we as these people do that. And one of the ways we do that is by giving Him, certainly giving Him thanksgiving. Thanking Him for the things that He's done. Things that He's done in the past. Things that He's doing now. Things that He's going to do in the future. Thanksgiving should be a large portion of our life. But could you have wrote anything down? Could you have wrote anything down as I asked that question, what have you thanked God for today? That's one way of expressing praise and giving Him glory. Another way of giving Him glory is seen in the book of Matthew chapter 5. I'm not going to turn there. We'll quote it best we can. It says to let your light so shine before men, that your light is your life. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Do we believe in good works? Well, sure we believe in good works. Certainly. I just got through with a radio broadcast this past Monday on Blessed Are They That Hunger and Thirst After Righteousness. One of the things I said on it, sure Baptists believe in good works. Believe in living a godly moral life. But why do we believe that? What's it say? Now let me finish Matthew chapter 8. Let your light so, or Matthew chapter 5. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, the purpose behind doing good works is so that it would bring glory to your Father. You're not trying to bring glory to yourself. That'd be the wrong motivation for doing anything for the Lord. What you do for the Lord is designed to bring glory and honor to the one that saved you. Okay, so that's another way that we bring glory. I want to live a godly life and a moral life. I want to let my light shine. But the main reason I want to do that, I'm trying to do that to keep myself saved. No. Jesus saved me. I'm not halfway saved. See, that's a lot of people's idea. He saves you to the point of your profession, and then you keep yourself saved by your works. Listen to me. That's salvation by works. And that's a salvation that's incomplete. And that's a salvation that depends wholly upon you. Salvation by grace is totally dependent upon Jesus Christ. We do our works because we want to bring glory to Him. So another way God gets glory from us is by the lives that we lived, and certainly we want lives that brings glory to Him. John chapter 15, in the great parable of the vine, Jesus said, "I'm the vine, you're the branches." And one of the statements He makes, He says, "Hereforth is My Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit." Fruit bearing is good works. As God's people bear fruit, see, one of the reasons you want to be fruitful as a Christian is so everybody will brag on you. No, one of the reasons why you want to bear fruit as a Christian, so people will glorify God. Man, look what God's done in His life. Look how God has done this here. Look what God has done here. That's what we want. We want to draw all the spotlight on God. And that's the motivation behind, of course, our work. So how do we give glory to God? By giving Him thanks and by living a godly life. Another way is by singing. Singing and praising. Did y'all enjoy tonight singing "How Great Thou Art"? That's a way of expressing praise. And indeed, I believe He is great, ain't He? And I see that in storms. And I love that song. I love nature. I love to get out. I like to get up. I'm in my happiest state, I think, when I'm on the highest mountaintop I can looking down at valleys. I absolutely enjoy that. I go up on scenic rock cliffs and look over. If it's a high spot, I like to be there, and I love to look down at the valleys and see God's handiwork. I like to set out at the night and look at the stars. Y'all like to look at the stars? I see God in all of these things. I believe that He made all of that and spoke all of that into existence. And I'll just look at these type things and just worship. Uncle John used to tell me about Aunt Linda. She's like I am. Get Aunt Linda up the mountains and get her at a real beautiful overlook. And Aunt Linda just look and just cry. She says, she'll just cry when she looks at that. And because she sees God's handiwork in that too. Well, we sing praises to Him because of such things. And it makes us, it's one of the ways we give Him glory. One of the ways we give Him glory is by singing praises to Him. Man, we need to sing from the very depths of our soul. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And then we'll move off this. I just wanted to give you some of the ways that we give Him glory. Can I ask you a question tonight? Is God getting glory from your life? Is God getting glory from your life? If you're not giving Him any thanks, if you're not singing any praises to Him, if you're not living a life that is godly, then He's not. Certainly we want Him to receive glory from our lives. 1 Corinthians 10. The glory of God is our dominating motivator. Boy, isn't that a good word? Dominating motivator. I don't even know if that's a proper thing to put together. But what motivates everything that we do as God's people is the glory of God. That's what motivates us. I want to preach. I want to do well when I preach. I want to be prepared. I want to make sure that I got a good lesson prepared for God's people. Study for that and pray for that. But my main motivation behind my preaching is the glory of God. And I constantly pray to that. I constantly pray to that. And anything that I do, I want it to be for the glory of God. And that should be true of all of God's people. Lord willing, we're going to be doing a baptism. We're going to have a bring. I should have announced last Sunday this month, we're going to have a bring a friend and first one of the year, and a baptism and communion. And one of the things is I talked to the candidate about baptism, and she said, "Well, it's a woman," and she said, "Well, Jeff, I'm not doing it for you, or I'm not doing it for anybody but my God." And I said, "Well, that's the reason to do it. You do it for that's why you're supposed to be baptized, of course. After you're saved, it's for the glory of God." And I enjoyed hearing that. 1 Corinthians 10, notice what it says. "Whether therefore ye eat or drink," rest is 1 Corinthians 10:31. Dad, 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whatsoever ye eat or drink, whatsoever ye do all to the glory of God." That's why you do it. That's the motivation. That should be the motivating thing behind everything we do here at this church. Not for the glory of self, not to draw attention to self, not for bragging from other people, but it has to be for the glory of God. And if it's for the glory of God, the Holy Spirit will bless it. The Holy Spirit will bless it. That's what it's for. Okay? All right, back to Psalms 29. So he calls upon the sons of the mighty to give unto the Lord glory, but also to give the Lord what else? Strength. To give to him strength. Our God is omnipotent, meaning he has all strength. There's no limit to his power. One of the problems we have, how do we give God strength? We attribute to him strength. That's the idea. We attribute to him great strength, great power. And I think one of the problems we have is sometimes we limit God's power in our minds. We try to put God's power in our own little feeble ability to understand his power. There's no limit to his power. He has all strength. Complete, absolute, total strength. And our problem many times is we don't trust his strength. We doubt his strength. And the idea of this is that we need to acknowledge his power. We need to see his strength. Turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 50. I love this text of scripture. Isaiah chapter 50. Give him to him glory and give him to him strength. Good example of it is when the three Hebrew children were getting ready to be thrown in the fiery furnace, and when they were standing before Nebuchadnezzar, and he gave them another chance. Boys, when the music starts playing, you bow down before this golden image. You be sure and do so. If you don't do this, I'm going to throw you in this fiery furnace. And they said, O king, if it be so, our God is able to deliver us from this fiery furnace. They acknowledged his strength. See, they give into the Lord's strength. But then they went on to say, they didn't know. Then they said, but if not, let it be known to thee, O king, this day that we will not bow before your image. They acknowledged his strength, though. They didn't know what exactly the Lord was going to do. But boy, they realized his power. They gave into him glory in the way that they reacted, but they also gave into him strength. Isaiah chapter 50, that's what it says, verse 2. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand short at all that it cannot redeem? Is it? Certainly the Lord can save, can he not? That's a good question. Or have I no power to deliver? These questions are asked. This is Isaiah 50, verse 2. Have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh because there is no water and dieth for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. Here it describes the great power and the awesomeness of God. And we need to realize that that's the same God that we pray to. And that's the same God that wrote this, that's the same God that's always with us. So we give unto him glory, but we're also to give unto him, acknowledge his strength. And sometimes we forget how strong that he is. Our God is able to do abundantly above all that we ask or even think. And many times in situations, we're whipped before we even pray. Absolutely whipped before we even pray. And we limit him in our minds. He has all power. Give it to him strength. Realize who you're praying to. Realize who you're praying to. He's the same God that parted the Red Sea. He's the same God that spoke this world into existence in 6 24-hour days. He's the same God that guided David's rock, that killed a 9.5-foot giant. That same God is the one that you're serving. And that same God is the one that hears your prayers. Okay? Back to Psalms chapter 29. Okay, so this was a call to worship in verses 1 and 2. And we're to give unto him glory. We're to give unto him strength. We talked about the ways that we do that. And we're to worship him. worship Him in church service, worship Him during the week too. That's one of the characteristics of God's people, is they worship God. Now, verses 3 through 9, we've already looked at, so I'm not really going to go back and go through. It's really verses 3 through 9 is just a description of a thunderstorm. He's describing, and he sees God's voice in it, and he sees His majesty and His power in a storm. And I pray that next time you see one, you think of Psalms 29. This is one of the what they would call a nature psalm. Psalms 19 was a nature psalm. Psalms 8 was a nature psalm. This is another one. You see God in nature because, of course, He created it, and you see His power. Who sends storms? They just happen, don't they? It all depends on how the pressure, the barometric pressure and all. No, God's the one that sends storms. He's the one that sends them. And what I want to do now is show you that the Scriptures, you know what I did? I looked up some of the verses that indicates that God sends storms. Let me see if I can find my paper on that. Verses of Scripture that says He sends lightning, that He sends the winds, that He controls the waves, that He brings the rain, that He sends droughts, and all of these things. And I want you to look at it. That's 4 pages of verses of the Bible. So if you want to look at this, you can. And I'm not going to show you every verse on this piece of paper. I just wanted a few. But 4 pages full of verses that talks about how God controls the weather. Weather just don't happen by accident. God's the one that controls it. He's the one that sends the rain. We looked at Psalms that says He waters the earth from His chambers. But let's look at a few of these. Y'all care? Let's look at a few of these. I want to show you how He controls the storms. And He controls the winds and the lightning and the thunder. It's all said to be His. It's all said to be His. Okay? Psalms chapter 107, and then we're going to look at the book of Job. Psalms 107. Let's begin at verse 21. It says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. And for His wonderful works to the children of men." That's what we were just talking about, wasn't it? Praising the Lord. "And let the let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And declare the works with rejoicing." All right, now notice what it says, verse 23. "Then they go down to the sea in ships, and they do business in great waters. These see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep." Now notice verse 25 of Psalms 107. "He commandeth and raises the stormy wind." Who raises the stormy wind? The Lord does. He commands and it comes up. Okay. "Which lifts up the waves thereof." Verse 26, they mount up to the heaven, they go down to the depths, their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Again, you get the idea how He controls, how the waves are like a drunken, they move to and fro. He controls all of that. Turn to the book of Job now, let me give you another one, chapter 37. Job chapter 37, He controls it all. When Jonah got out of the will of the Lord, what did they say the Lord did? The Lord sent a great storm at sea. He controls it. He's the one that does that. Whenever a great storm came on the Sea of Galilee, who calmed it? The Lord did, because they obeyed His voice because they knew the voice of the Creator. He controls the storms. One of the things, whenever my boys would be afraid of storms, I think they still are, if you want to make fun of them over it. Whenever they be afraid of storms, I go in the room and say, "Listen, the Lord's the one that sends this. The hand of our God is the one that sends the wind and the waves and the rain and all these things." And it's comforting when you know who sends it. And it would have a calming effect at times. Psalms 37, notice what it says, or I'm sorry, Job 37. Notice what it says in 1 through 13. Or let's begin at verse 3. "He directeth it unto the whole heaven, and His lightning unto the ends of the earth. After it a voice roareth, and he thundereth with the voice of his excellency. God thundereth marvelously with his voice. What's that, the thunder? Great things doth he, which we cannot comprehend. For he saith through the snow, be thou on the earth. Who sends the snow? The Lord is the one that sends it. Likewise to the small rain and to the great rain of strength. Then the beasts go into their places. Out of the south cometh the whirlwind. Who brings the tornadoes? He's in control of that too. Who brings the frost? Look at verse 10. By the breath of the God, the frost is given. Okay? So it describes all the different parts of the weather that the Lord brings. And notice why he does it in verse 13. He causes it to come. This is talking about the storms. Weather for correction. Did you hear that? Sometimes he brings storms for correction. To get folks' attention. See, it's what it says. And for his land, you know, to water it so things will grow. Or mercy. So he has a reason for all of it. Job chapter 38. I'll give you a few more. I love these. This is my favorite one, is Job 38. So who controls the weather? God does. He's the one that's in control, absolute control of it. He's the one that sends the rain, the frost, the snow, the hail, all of it. All of it. He's in control of it. Okay? Job 38, verse 25. Who divideth a waterway? Job 38, verse 25. Who hath divided a water course for the overflowing of waters? Who made a way for the lightning of the thunder? God did. To cause it to rain on the earth where no man is, on the wilderness wherein there is no man. Verse 28, hath the rain a father? Who's the father of the rain? God is. He's the father of the rain. Who hath begotten the drops of dew? Who sends the dew? God does. Out of whose womb comes the ice? Out of the hoary frost of heaven, who hath gendered it? Verse 34, canst thou lift up thy voice to the clouds and the abundance of water cover thee? Canst thou send lightnings that they may go and say unto thee, here are we? Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts? Verse 37, who hath numbered the clouds in wisdom? Who can stay the bottles of heaven? We can go on and on. Folks, God controls the weather. He controls the weather. He sends the lightning, the thunder, the storm, the snow, the dew, the rain, etc. He's in control of it all. It's controlled by the hand of our God. And the writer of Psalms 29 knew that. And when he's seen a storm, he's seen God's power and majesty being displayed. Its thunder was his voice and his wind and all of these things. Back to Psalms 29. Now let's look at some of the reflections he has on this particular storm. In verses 10 and 11, we look at the reflections on it. Now you'll notice just the latter part of verse 9. It says, doth everyone speak of his glory? Now you might have a little note in the middle of your Bible, and this is the idea of that. Every whit of it uttereth his glory. Every whit of it uttereth his glory. What does that mean? Every whit of a storm utters God's glory. That's the idea of it. Wind, the rain, the lightning, the thunder, every whit of it says glory, glory. Psalms 19 said the same thing. The heavens declare the glory of God. And so does the storm. So does the storm. And you should see God's hand in it. And that's what it says. Where's God when the storms come? Notice what it says in verse 10. The Lord sets upon the flood. He's seated. It says that the Lord setteth king forever. Here you have a picture of the flood here. As a result of the storm, and where's God? See, he sets on it. You know what that means? He controls it. He's in absolute control over it. Okay? I had a book, a little something I wanted to read to you here, if you don't care, with regard to God sitting on the flood, sitting on His throne during the storm. Aren't you glad God's always on His throne? That's what it says in Psalm, or let me read this to you, so I marked it here. It says, all thee, or let me go ahead and read it here at the beginning. It says, the world of nature, the sky, the earth and the forest, the waters, everything in the storm echoes glory, glory. All these things declare the glory of God. All these wonders, the voice of God upon the waters, the thunder, the crash of trees upon the hills, the shaking of the wilderness, the leaves stripped from the trees and flying in every direction, all proclaim the majesty and the glory of God. That's the meaning. Every whit of them cries glory. Now he goes on to say in the latter part of the verse, Psalms 29, verse 11, the Lord will give strength unto His people. Do you believe that? So here you have this awesome display of power in a thunderstorm. That's an awesome display of power. And then the result of that, having seen all this power, same God that sent this great storm and shows His power in this storm is the same God that gives you strength. That's the idea of it. He can give you strength. The Lord gives these people strength. We call that God gives us grace. Aren't you glad God gives you strength? He gives you strength for every storm that He permits, whether it's a physical storm, the rain, which we've been talking about. But sometimes we speak of storms of life, do we not? We sing that song in the church, till the storm passes by. It's not talking about a rainstorm. It's talking about a trial that sometimes, a storm of life that sometimes blows in the lives of these people. Well, God don't always take away the storm, does He? Can I ask you a question? Who sends the storm? Now, He sends the rainstorms, we realize that. But the storms of life, He don't have nothing to do with them. They just blow into your life by accident. No, He sends those too. Boy, I tell you, when you know that, it helps you. When you know who sends a storm to hell, I know they're scary, you know, a thunderstorm scary, a physical can be scary, but and a physical storm can be scary too. But it so helps you when you know whose hand sends it and permits it. So helps you. Then it so helps you when you think about it, when it comes, when a storm blows into your life. It so helps you, Mike, when you think He's still sitting on His throne over it, still in control. Does everybody see where I'm coming from? He's still on His throne. He set it up on the floods. He sent it. And you know what else He'll do? He'll give you strength. For every storm He permits in the lives of His children, He'll give strength to go through it. I just believe that. Do you? For every storm He permits in the lives of His children, He'll provide strength to go through. Aren't you glad? How does God strengthen His people? Have you ever wondered the different ways? We spoke of this many times as we went through the Psalms. Talks about in many Psalms where God is our strength. He's our very present help in time of trouble. Remember all those different passages that we've looked at. How does God give you strength? You know, does He just hit you with a lightning bolt and boom, you got strength? How does God strengthen these people? One of the ways He does it is through the means of prayer. When He says in Hebrews 4 to come boldly to His throne of grace, that ye may obtain help and strength in time of need. You need strength. You need to go to the Lord and pray. That's one of the ways that He gives you strength. He gives you strength as a result of prayer. Have you ever been strengthened by praying? Man, it's awesome to be. It's not good to be burdened down. I don't like being burdened down, but I get that way. But it's such a great uplift It's so strengthening to draw aside and to get away from everybody and the hustle and bustle of things and get alone with your God and just pour out your heart to Him. It has I've went to prayer weak and come back from prayer strengthened just as a result of talking to my God. So He gives strength. One way is of course, through the means of prayer. Have you ever been strengthened by the Word? Oh, man, the Word of God will strengthen you. I've been strengthened by His Word. I've been strengthened by looking at these Job sermons on Sunday. We've been looking at. God's Word will strengthen you. But you got to get it. I mean, you got to hear it. You got to hear it taught and preached, and you got to read it yourself. God's Word will strengthen you. That's another way the Lord gives you strength. He'll give you strength through fellowship. I've been strengthened as a result of being with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Have you? Strengthening. It's good to talk and to fellowship with another brother or sister in Christ. It has a strengthening effect upon you. Sometimes you need some fellowship. Sometimes you need some fellowship. You say, well, I'm waiting on someone to ask me. Ask them. Lee, won't you come over? Mike, won't you come up? I need some fellowship. Would you please come up? You wait on somebody to walk through your door by accident. Usually you really do. Waiting on the Lord to send me someone. Ask Him. Come on down. Good to do that. Need some fellowship. Fellowship is very uplifting. It's one of the ways God strengthens you is through fellowship with these people. Men's meetings strengthen me. It's the fellowship. It's helpful. He strengthens that way. He'll strengthen you through song. Have you ever been strengthened by a song that someone sung? Just tremendous different songs that the Lord will use sometimes to speak to your heart. Sometimes you'll be strengthened by rest. Sometimes you just, I'll be honest with you, sometimes you need just some rest. Jesus told His disciples one time, boys, let's draw aside and rest a while. If you don't do that on occasions, I read once, if you don't come apart, you'll fall apart. You need some rest at times. Rest where you just, and by rest, I mean just taking a break from things and focusing on God. Focusing on His Word and letting Him. That's another way that He'll strengthen you. Sometimes I'll take just a small break and I might get away for a little, and I'll recharge, you know. And I'll study a lot of the Bible, I always study the Bible for me, but I study a lot to prepare messages. Lord willing, I prepare five messages a week. That's a lot of study involved with preparing messages. But I have to have times that I read the Bible just to let God talk to me. Just me, to not prepare for nothing. Do you know where I'm coming from? To not be getting anything ready, but just to let God talk to me. If a preacher doesn't do that, he'll dry up. My ministry and my messages come as a result as my fellowship with my King. But if I don't feed myself and just spend personal time with the Lord, it all dries up. You get burdened, weighted, and cluttered, and everything. That's true of every child of God. So sometimes you need to come aside and rest. Spend time with the Lord. That's the way God strengthens you. I've took a week break before. And had 4,000 messages when I came back. Just as a result of just spending, not having to get everything ready. Nothing. I like getting things ready. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you have to have quiet time just with your God and you. And if you don't get that, I don't care what you know. You'll get weak. God strengthens you by resting. You also get strengthened by encouragement. By encouragement. Sometimes just an encouraging word will have an uplifting effect upon people. So those are the different ways that God gives strength. So it says He gives you strength. Folks, He'll give you strength right in the midst of a storm too. right in the midst, he can strengthen you. Steve Ruby's going through a tremendous storm, but he has strength in it. Everybody see it? He's in a storm, but he has strength in it. See? God can give you strength in the midst of it, and what a testimony that is. So he gives strength. Now let's go ahead and finish this. The Lord will give strength unto his people. Do you believe that or not? We do. He'll give strength to his people. I've experienced it many times in my life. Through prayer, through the word, through fellowship, through rest, through encouragement, different ways. But you know something? Praise God, what else he gives. The Lord blesses his people with peace. I like having peace. I don't like having a mind that's cluttered. I have peace with God as far as salvation is concerned. Before I was an enemy. Now by his grace I'm a son. I'm a child of the King. I have peace with God. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The only way I can have peace is that. The only way anyone can have peace with God is that way. But he continues to give me peace throughout my life. Book of Philippians chapter 4 says that he gives a peace that passes understanding. A peace that will cause people of the world sometimes will look at a Christian that's going through a great trial of affliction, and the Lord will give that Christian strength and peace in the midst of that great trial, and people will look at him and say, are they crazy? They seem to have, they're peaceful. What's the matter with them people? God's given peace. God's given peace. And he does that for his people. That's why he says in the book of Philippians 4, don't be anxious for nothing. Anxious, remember Jeff told us, was where we get the word anxiety. Fearful. Worry. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes understanding, keep your heart and your mind. He gives you peace. He gives you peace. But have you ever prayed to God and made your... We know what Philippians 4 says. Have you ever prayed to God and made requests but yet not have peace? It says the peace of God but pass all understanding if I would make my request made known to him. But I don't got no peace. You know why that is? You don't trust him. You see, with the request is involved trusting him, putting your... You don't get peace till you trust him. You make your request, and then you trust him that he's going to do what's best and then provide sufficient grace to hold up. That's the way he works. Remember what the three Hebrew children says, O King, our God, if it be so, our God is able to deliver us from this furnace. He can. But if not, they didn't know. They just laid that thing totally in the hands of God. And you know, I don't believe when they throwed him in that furnace, they were clawing and holding on to the side. I think they had peace. God gives strength and peace in the midst of storms. And that helps you whenever you're going through the storm, when you remember who sends it, who's in control of it, and you remember that he can give you strength and he can give you peace. Tonight, do you have peace? Do you have peace? Peace of mind. I pray that you do. In the midst of your storm, I pray that the God of heaven would give you peace. Let's all stand. Well, that's Psalms 29. Remember the title was, How Great Thou Art. Indeed, he is great. Thank you for coming tonight. Thank you for your attention. Of course, you don't need me here if you're not here to listen to me. We're very encouraged over the numbers we've been having, especially on Sunday.